Hey everyone, this is Mark Dolan at Time Tested Mastery. I'm excited to spend some time today with Tyler Wood, who has agreed to share a portion of his sales journey in real estate, as well as his insights into many fundamental principles necessary for time tested mastery. Tyler has an impressive track record of excellence as a leading real estate agent for over two decades. Now, I witnessed his Tyler Wood Group close over $2 million in annual GCI multiple times, and he was most recently recognized with the Lifetime Achievement Award from RE/MAX International, which is amazing in itself when you consider the first half or more of Tyler's career was spent in the Coldwell Banker system. There are few men I know who are as committed to excellence and personal growth. So for now, let me give a warm welcome to Tyler and have him tell you all about it. Good morning, Tyler. How's it going today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing well. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be able to talk with you today. You know, I've known you for many years and know, you know, quite a bit about your story and, you know, sort of your history and your career path and your family. You know, but I'd like for you to take a moment, you know, and just sort of think back and share with some of our listeners that may not know you a little bit about how you got into real estate, how that all came about. And then I'm going to ask you, looking back at what the successes were, some of the things that you didn't recognize while you were going through it.
Sure. Yeah. So, I think we've known each other at least 26 years, right? I've been in the business. Started in January of 99, and you were my dad's right-hand guy then, right? So at least that long, and probably before that when I used to come in the office and see my dad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got in the business. It was not kind of what I planned to do, right? What I planned to do was I wanted to be in the FBI.
Okay.
Right? Like the guy from Point Break. I want to be an FBI agent. So I was in school. I studied, you know, law and philosophy and political science, and I was going to go that route. I finished school. I was going to go to law school. I did that process where I did all the testing, and you know, your life takes crazy paths from time to time, and I just didn't 100% feel right about it. I was also looking at the military. I was going to go into the Navy and do, you know, officer candidate school and I wanted to do maybe Navy intelligence. I wanted to be involved, something to do with law, something to do with, intelligence, whatever. I didn't get into intelligence. They wanted me to be a airline or a pilot or a navigator, which is, you know, the person with the pilot. And it was a 10-year commitment. And
wow.
I was like, yeah, this was in 98 and, you know, 2000, you know, 9/11 came a few years after that. So things happen in life. You just never know, you know, it's a good lesson, right? You just never know what God's got in store for you or what the future holds. So you can't always put, you know, too much, you can't be too depressed about some bad things that you think might happen to you when you don't get what you want. And so at that point, you know, my dad and I, we can get into it a little later, but the relationship we had, you know, I talked to my dad a lot when I was in college and leaned on him for support. I thought, you know what, it might be a good idea just to go work with him for a couple of years, get some knowledge, make some money, and then I can pay for law school. I can go back. I can do whatever I really want. So I kind of went into real estate with like a 2-year mindset commitment. And so Mike Walkner, right? Mike Walkner works with RE/MAX still. He was a college roommate of mine. And we were sitting there one night after a few beers, said, hey, let's go to Big Bear and sell real estate. And so that's how it started, right? That's how I got into real estate. And it wasn't some grand plan. It was just kind of the way my life took me. And, you know, 26 years later, you know, I've been in the business. Wow. Lots of lessons learned, but that's how I got in the business. And again, you were there. I mean, you were there the first year. Mike and I were cutting our teeth and figuring out how to do everything. You saw that process for quite a while. So
yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is I never had any idea nor desire to get into real estate as a sales career or any kind of career. I mean, it was not even on the horizon for me until I was 21. I was sort of thrown into it. Most of the people that I talk to that are in the business, it was not their first choice. It wasn't something that they aspired to. And so I find it fascinating that even you that, you know, have a pedigree in the real estate business with your dad would not be planning to go that way when you got into the business. So,
when you're a kid, you're like, I don't want to do what my dad does, you know, like, some people do, but as a teenager, right, you're kind of rebelling and you want to just do your own thing. And so I never really saw myself doing that. I had other dreams, like I said, and then it just worked out that way. And I'm happy it did. You know, I don't have any regrets about that by any means. I'm happy it worked out the way that it did. Just because my whole life turned out the way that it did. So,
right. Yeah. So, I think it's interesting that people have ideas of what real estate is like before they get into the business versus what it really is like. I mean, one of the stories I like to tell is, you know, everything that I learned to get my license was mostly legal stuff, you know, alluvian soil and avulsion and this and that and the other. A lot of that, I never really used any of it until I became a broker and, you know, started getting into legal matters. What I didn't know was that I had to learn how to sell. And so getting into the real estate business in the very beginning was sort of shocking because I thought, you know, you met somebody, they liked you, they signed a contract, you put a sign up in front of their house, it sold, you made a lot of money. And I was really shocked that there was a lot more to it than that. So can you share with everyone, you know, think back as to what it was like to be a new agent, mm-hmm. you know, what did it feel like? And, you know, what was going through your mind at the time as you were starting?
Yeah. You know, thinking back, I just listened to what my dad said and I just believed everything he told me. Right. I mean, he said, you know, the two things he said is know your inventory, like know your product and follow up, which was like, do what you say you're going to do. Right. So So I had no reason to question anything because I didn't know anything about sales. I always thought sales was tricking people to do something they don't want to do, right? Like convincing them to do something that they probably won't do unless you convince them.
Right.
That's what I thought sales was. And so I didn't have any really preconceived notions other than maybe I can make a lot of money. That was really the only thought. And I didn't know necessarily how. That was what drove me when I was that age. I was 24 and, you know, I wanted to make money, right? You know, my dad just had us, you know, when we first started, we were cold calling for buyers in yeah. like Orange County, LA, San Diego. We were just, I mean, I don't even know where we got the list, but we were just on the phone cold calling and said, hey, you know, I'm up in Big Bear. Do you want to buy a property here? And people are like, why are you calling me? Like this out of the blue. But what it did is it set that discipline of doing hard things, doing things you may not want to do, getting uncomfortable, which I don't know how much business came from the actual cold calling, but the discipline and the mindset that set in Mike and I think, you know, is what helped us, you know, do better in the future. So, you know, I didn't really have any notions other than just do what my dad tells me to do. And that's what I did. And I've always kind of done that. I, you know, there's some things that he's told me to do that I still do today, you know, and there's some things that I've learned, you know, not to do as well. But I just followed pretty much exactly what he told me to do. And then it just became a, you know, a snowball effect. And you know, I kind of cut my own path from there.
Anybody that knows your dad would say he was an out of the box thinker. And the idea that brought into that program that you were talking about is cold calling for buyers. Your dad had done a study and he knew what zip code areas had the highest concentration of property owners in Big Bear. And he knew that in those high zip code areas, those people were most likely to be interested in Big Bear. Mm-hmm. And so that was a way to reach out to buyers ahead of time and at least plant the seeds of interest in them, because we knew that a lot of their neighbors already own homes in Big Bear. So that was sort of the idea behind it.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yep.
But I want to focus on what you said, which was that the activity itself, you're not sure how much business that came out of it, but you reaped other rewards with the discipline. What did you learn from the discipline of making those calls?
I mean, I learned that, you know, when you get something like that done, you feel better. You know, you just feel better and you feel more confident that you got something hard done. And so I think that's the main thing. You know, everybody has those things they just don't want to do, but then after you do it, you feel better. Right. So that was just one of those things. I don't think I never really cold called the rest of my career, at all, other than maybe some expireds and some stuff like that. But cold calling, you know, the discipline was already there for me. I used it in other ways. So that's the main thing I got from it, is that, you know, when you get something done, especially early, right, get that out of the way early in the day, the rest of the day is a cakewalk, really.
Okay. And that goes right into your personal development kind of discipline, lifestyle that you have today. So that lesson, I mean, I think you had those seeds in you before you got to the cold calling, but that was another path, you know, along to where you are today. Yeah, I know from cold calling that one of the things that happens is that you receive a lot of rejection.
Yep.
You know, a tremendous amount of rejection, you know, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard to be rejected 98% of the time or 97% of the time. And it really develops a lot of confidence and a strength of character to be able to continue to offer, to be helpful to people and offer your service to people when you're facing that much rejection. Good. So, you know, I think that's a great lesson share with other people is, you know, a lot of people don't like to make those calls. Yeah. Can you think about, because you've had a long career from, you know, when you started, you know, I want to also commend you on, you know, doing what your dad suggested. You know, most people don't listen to what their coaches say. In fact, most people, you know, really don't do anything they're told anymore. That's why we're called independent contractors in real estate. But there's a path. I mean, so you started being teachable from the very beginning. But there's got to be, you know, looking back, there's got to be a career path. You know, what are the stages of confidence level, I guess I would say? Are there milestones along your path that were confidence builders? So maybe describe, you know, the wins and maybe some of the plateaus that you experienced.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you start off under your, like, from my dad, I mean, you know, he was a big guy to follow. He had some big shoes, right? And so, you know, his national with Mike Ferry, he and Mike Ferry, you know, I remember sitting there with my dad back in 1995 and Mike Ferry at Bighorn Country Club. You know, Mike was talking about the one-on-one program, right, with my dad. And so my dad was involved with that from the very beginning. So I listened to everything he said, and it just, he, you know, and I, you know, you just never know when you're working with your dad how things are going to go. And he and I had a rocky, you know, relationship when I was younger. And so I really appreciate it. I remember him going out with me out to Baldwin Lake to walk a lot. You know, it was like $15,000 a lot, but he was walking the lot and showing me what to do. And I was just like, back then I didn't think much of it, but later I really appreciated that, you know, he took the time to show me the ropes. But eventually, you know, what happens is, you know, you start working with buyers and you start working with sellers and you get more confidence. And then as you do, you know, at first you're working mainly buyers. That's what we did. My dad handled the listings and, you know, you just get confidence from it, right? When you know your inventory, when you do the things that he was telling us to do and you start getting feedback from your clients, like, hey, you know, you really know what you're talking about, or, hey, thanks for calling me back. Like that's not the norm. People don't call people back, or they don't do what they say they're going to do. When you start getting feedback, it starts just building you up even more, like, hey, I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right things. And then, you know, so I think I progressed from working with a lot of buyers to working with sellers and getting some confidence there.
There were several other people in the program that your dad was working on at the time that were all being trained in this new system that you went through. Can you describe what happened with you and Mike, your buddy from college, and some of the other people that were in the program? What was different about your experience and your mindset versus some of theirs?
Yeah. So, you know, when we started off with my dad, we were on a program, right, where you got a salary. And then for every deal that you did, I think you got $500. Right. And so, obviously, you know, it wasn't the full commission, right? But you did get a salary and you did learn the business. And so I was with my dad on his team. I wasn't going to leave, right? But other people had the option that, you know, after a while, they may get successful and think, you know what, I want to make the full commission. And so, it, you know, people thought, right or wrong, hey, that's not fair. You should get the whole commission. You shouldn't. Either way, the point of it was, is my dad had a method, and especially for Mike and I, that, you know, we would eventually get the money. It's just, we weren't going to get it right up front. And that he knew, my dad knew that as a young kid, if you sell a big property and you get a big commission, you're probably going to spend it, right? You probably didn't have the mental training, financial training to be able to understand, like, you know, I need to probably save this money. There's a reason why a lot of these guys that make a ton of money in the sports, right? They go broke pretty soon after because they really never got the training on how to handle the money. So one of the things I really appreciated that my dad did for us is, you know, he got us Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? And we read about how to, you know, make money, how to save money. And we just kind of took those lessons, but we would only get a portion, a small portion of our commission. There were some other people in the group that couldn't hang with that, right? They wanted a quicker turnaround on that. They wanted more of a shorter term success, I guess you would call it, versus longer term success. And so they would leave and either go do their own thing or, yeah, that's pretty much what they did. Mike and I stuck around. A lot of people left. You know, Mike and I continued on the program. Over time, all these commissions built up, right? And so after a few years, we got big checks because, you know, these had built up. But we were in a position to be able to handle that money, right? We were in a position to be able to handle that money and not go out and spend it all and blow it all because we had kind of learned how to handle it and what to do with it. Mike and I actually invested in some real estate. We still own some real estate together. We've done 1031s, all from that original lesson. Other people that moved on, you know, one in particular, they went out very successful short term, sold a lot of properties in the area, but I don't think they had that base to be able to handle it. And they fizzled out pretty quick, had, you know, financial problems, other problems, you know, in their personal life too. So it was really a good lesson early on that at first it was like, oh, this kind of sucks. I'm not getting these big checks. But over time, you started to see the method to it. And I'm really thankful that I learned that early on, that short-term gratification, short-term success versus the long-term gratification is something that can benefit you down the road. So I was really thankful to get that lesson early on.
I didn't think I've heard that story before, but it sounds exactly like your dad. One of the first things he said to me early on when I went to work at his company was, don't let your expenses rise to your income.
Right.
And I had already done that at my previous company. I mean, I had made a lot of money and lost it all. So yep. I had already been down that road, what you're describing. And, it sounds like the wisdom that he, worked on with you is that he didn't allow you to make that mistake. He got you and Mike to live on half of your income or less of your income and didn't make you go through the process that I did, which is lose a lot of it. And the same as the other fella that you're talking about. So yeah. Very, very great story there.
It really stuck with me. I mean, the rest of my life, really. I mean, he always would say, don't let your expenses rise to your income. And if you make $1 million, but you spend $1,000,001, you're broke.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And there were a lot of examples. I mean, I would see it throughout my career of people that I'd, other agents that, you'd see them and they'd be highly leveraged, right? Highly leveraged. They'd have this toy, this house, that house. And it's like, yeah, it's flashy and I understand it. But I mean, while I was driven by the money, it didn't mean I wanted to spend it all.
Yeah.
Right. I was driven by it. But again, it was more about the life that it can afford me in the future, not in the short term present. And then from there, it was just, I just, my dad used to say, work the next 5 years like nobody else works and you can have what everybody won't have for the rest of your life. And so I worked my butt off. I worked too much, 7 days a week, probably, but that's what I felt I had to do at the time to be successful. And I was driven by monetary success. I wanted to be, I wanted to have money, not necessarily material things as much, but I wanted to have money. I wanted to, quote unquote, retire young. That was kind of when I was 24, that was kind of the idea I had in mind. And so that's what drove me to constantly study the inventory. Constantly think about my my listing presentation and how I was going to, you know, just nail that every time.
Right.
So that's what I focused on. As far as, you know, plateaus or anything like that, you know, I think maybe getting a little complacent or comfortable, I think is probably the only thing. But fortunately, you know, fortunately, I seem to roll with the times. I was able to, you know, get a bank owned account and work with some short sales and do some stuff to keep myself busy during that slow time. So I didn't really I had some of my best years in the slower times. And that's what happens, I think, when you're really grinding. So I didn't hit too many plateaus really that I can recall. It was mainly, you know, just going from, you know, being on my dad's team and being one of the top, you know, parts of that team to transitioning to my own self and then having my own team. That's where, you know, you saw some changes and some growth just between, because I had to communicate a lot better with people that are on the team and working with other people and stuff like that. So that's where I saw maybe some of the struggles with being in the business. But selling and buying and selling, listing and selling, and I didn't have too many plateaus or too many down years that I can recall. So
cool. So you know, I heard you say there was a transition from working with buyers to working with sellers.
Yep.
And I think that comes with a lot of time. But there's several things that you said that remind me of conversations I had with your dad. You know, one of them is that no one would outwork him. Okay. And so you described all of the time that you worked. Can you describe, you know, because I'm old school, I came from that generation of hard work, and I know that you did. Mm-hmm. Can you describe for people that are in real estate today what your schedule looked like back then? What was a perfect day for you when you were starting out really grinding?
I mean, a perfect day or just a normal, right? I mean, you know, I mean, you would get up early. I mean, you're getting in the office 7:30. I mean, I wouldn't get there super, super early, but, and you're, you know, dealing with appointments, dealing with clients, following up. And, you know, if you could leave by 5 or 6, you were lucky, you might stay, you know, till 8 or so. I wouldn't say that was every day, but, you know, that was the typical day, especially when I was not married. Right. Once I got married, I tried to get home a little bit earlier, but I would still go in early and I would still work quite a bit. I mean, I would still work 6 to 7 days, especially early on, you know, and that changed a little bit when I had, my son, because, you know, I saw the writing on the wall with other people and how, you know, look, at a certain point, it can't just be all about you and what you want to do, especially when you're married and have a family. Right. You have to, there's sacrifices and, you know, while I definitely worked probably still too much, I didn't work as hard as when I was kind of on my own. So yeah, I mean, it's long days. But again, you gotta be, in my experience, you have to be out of balance a little bit to be able to get ahead in certain things. And you have to understand and realize that you're out of balance though too. You can't just stay there. And so the times that I've found in my life now is that when I want to focus on something, I want to get good at something, or I want to do good at something, I have to give that my attention. And that's going to put me out of balance in some other areas. And you have to be okay with that for a little while.
So share a little bit more about that, because, you know, work-life balance is one of the big buzzwords that's been going around for quite a while. Yep. And real clearly, I believe, and I think what I heard you say is that in order to be excellent at something, there is a season where you need to be out of balance.
Yeah.
So, you know, share a little bit more about, you know, those times when you invested more in a specific area, you know, and how long that lasted and what was a sign for you that it was time to move into something different.
So, yeah, I mean, when I started in real estate, that was, and again, making money was my mindset at that age. And that pretty much took precedence over everything. That was the number one priority. I didn't have a family. I wasn't, you know, involved, I think, with my wife at that time. Once I met her, she was working, I was working. And so, you know, it was easier to definitely work during the week, maybe on the weekends here and there. I might take one weekend off a month. I don't know. But I definitely worked too much. And then, you know, when we got married and, you know, it started to slow down a little bit, I wasn't working as hard, but I was still working hard, and I might, you know, I realized that I can't just work all the time and not pay attention to my wife, because eventually that's just going to wear out, right? She's not going to be happy. So I realized that. And then when I had, you know, my son, you know, I not only did I want to spend time with him, so I didn't work as many nights at that point. I would still get up early. I would still go in a lot of days. I would still work really hard, probably more than most people would think was a fair amount. But I would try to be home. So, you know, my son, I missed some time, you know, during the day with him, but I tried to make all the games. I tried to be the coach. I tried to go and do some stuff. I definitely missed some stuff, but I did not, you know, I did not want to be just totally 100% work. And that's, again, something that I kind of learned from my dad not to do. You know, he was 24/7, 7 days a week, all the time. But, you know, he got divorced early. He, you know, didn't sleep well. He had some issues there. And so I, you know, I learned, like, hey, I got to have a little bit of balance there. I've worked hard. I've kind of set myself up a little bit. I can pull back a little bit on the reins on work and spend a little bit more time over here. And so that's kind of what I've just always been aware. You know, I've come from a divorced family, and, you know, I've seen other people go through some stuff. And so I try to just pick up on, like, hey, you know, you might want to, you know, you're not immune to this either. And so I try to learn from that. I try to learn from others as much as I can. It's hard sometimes because you have to learn yourself a lot of times. You try not to that. You know, I did tell myself when I got married, I did not want to get divorced, you know, and somebody told me one time that, you know, if the minute it starts creeping in your head, you know, that maybe you should get divorced, it's, you know, you just don't let that creep in your head. And so I've always kind of, when I got married, I waited till I was 30 to get married, because I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, I didn't want to get married too young. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a few years on my own to get my career going, and that I was ready. And then once I did it, it was like, I don't want to do something for failure, you know, and, you know, divorce, you know, it's common. So, so I've just been mindful of that, I guess, is the point. So.
Very good. Very good. Well, I mean, the real estate business is not easy. I mean, you know, they say you can make as much money as you want and you can have as much freedom in the world as you want because you're an independent contractor. And I've seen that, you know, in my career. I've seen people that have all the freedom in the world. And I've also seen people that made extraordinary amounts of money and were extraordinarily successful. But you usually don't have both. You know, you usually don't have both, at least not at the same time, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, one of the things I hear real clearly is that, you know, you were very money driven in the beginning. So was I. The people that I saw in real estate that attracted me, they drove Cadillacs. So I thought, hey, this must be good. They're driving Cadillacs. But it was never really the money that was of interest to me. It was what money would do for me. Yeah. And it was freedom is what I was after, was the freedom of having that. I didn't have that growing up, and I wanted that. And that was where the work ethic and the drive came for me. So there is a transition. You know, when did it shift from, you know, was there any specific thing that happened that shifted you or sort of catapulted you forward into pursuing a meaningful life that was well-rounded rather than just focusing on making money?
Yeah. I mean, I think just age and time, you know, I think that when you're younger, you're driven by certain things. And then as you get older, you start to be driven by other things. Right. And so I think it was time. Seeing, you know, my dad get ill, right? My dad had a neurological decline. And so seeing him go through that, you know, and seeing before that, he had heart issues, right? He had a four-way bypass. And so I'm pretty good at picking up on hints of like, hey, this is what your life could look like if you don't, you know, get straight. And so, and not that it was bad. It's just, you know, you got, sometimes I think we get on autopilot and we just start doing stuff and we don't even know why we're doing it. Sometimes we just keep doing it because we've always done it that way. So I think it's important to be mindful and to get out of the autopilot and start, you know, asking yourself, like, what's your intention, right? Like, what do you want? What do you truly want? And so I got clear on some of that stuff. My dad had heart issues. I was not healthy at the time. I was like, look, my grandpa died of heart disease. My dad had a heart attack. He's not super healthy. Like, and I was 35 or so. And I was on the same road. And I was like, you know, you're working a lot. You're somewhat overweight, you know, and you have a kid now. And it's like, what do you, like, where's this going to go? Where's this going to end up? I saw it ending up, you know, I'm going to have heart issues. I could potentially have a heart attack. I could, you know, go down this road. So I learned from, you know, watching kind of what my dad went through on what I needed to do better for myself. So when I say I learned from him a lot of stuff, what to do and what not to do, the not to do stuff was some of the stuff that he struggled with. And so I started taking my health, you know, more seriously in 2010.
Is that when CrossFit started?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, around, I started with P90X, right? Tony Horton, okay. Right? In my garage. I started with Tony Horton. And so I've always been an athlete, but I wasn't necessarily, you know, focused on the gym and stuff like that. I would play basketball and I would do stuff like that. But so I started, you know, training. That opened the door to the diet, which opened the door to all the other stuff that's involved with being healthy, right? Stress, sleep, social, you know, all that stuff. So it just opened the door to that. And once the door opened up, I just went in full bore. And so, but seeing my dad go through on his health journey, and so really in like 2015, 16, when he started to be noticeably, you know, his brain just wasn't working the way that it had for so long, I started to be like, okay, you know, I've been working at this now for 15, you know, 16 years. My son was 6 or 7. And I was just like, you know, I'm just going to just slow down a little bit. So that's kind of what started it. And then from there, just spending time with him as he was deteriorating, just started contemplating a little more about, you know, what do I want my life to be like? What do I want? How do I want the rest of my life to look? And then kind of working backwards from there.
Okay. So one of the transitions that we didn't talk about was, you know, transitioning into doing your business, you know, rather than being a part of your dad's team.
Yep.
And the responsibilities that, you know, that come along with being, a team leader and a coach and, you know, being basically responsible for the people that are working with you. You know, what was that experience like? You know, what's the good parts and what's the bad parts of it?
Well, I mean, the good parts. So, yeah, the good parts, obviously, you know, you can do more business, right? I mean, we were doing more business. You just make relationships with the people that are on your team. I mean, we're a small town. It's not a big, big city. And so just being able to have that camaraderie, right? Having a team and seeing them succeed, you know, my team, for the most, I guess it's all female, right?
Right.
Right. It's all female. And so it just worked out that way. And just seeing their success, seeing their growth, you know, kind of seeing the process I went through. So it was probably, I was pretty much in my dad's position at that point. So seeing them succeed, work hard. A lot of these ladies are, you know, moms, you know, as well. And so, and just seeing them or being able to take care of their families and provide for their families and, that was probably the most rewarding part, is seeing them succeed and do better. You know, the downside is, I don't know if there's really much downside to it. I mean, obviously just managing some stuff, but I don't know that that's necessarily downside, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, team members leave, and that's probably the part when, you know, when you get to be friends with some of these people, and then when they leave, it feels like they're leaving your family a little bit. And so,
right.
that's something that I don't do well with, and my dad never did well with.
I know.
I mean, you know the story.
I know. Yeah.
But you know, time heals stuff. But that's pretty much the only negative is that, you know, you get close to some people and then they want to do their own thing, which I understand, you know, I understand why they want to do that. That's just part of being a team. I mean, we saw it early on when my dad, you know, back in the day, 1999, there wasn't a lot of teams, right? My dad was doing a team and people were like, "You're crazy. What is that about?" Yeah. Right. And they called us the Timwood Flunkies, right? Like, so the teams weren't really, but a lot of people left. And that was tough. You know, it was tough to see, but you know, it's understandable. It's tough though. It's just part of running a team. It's part of having a business. And so, you know, but all in all, I wouldn't change anything about it. It's been good. I still have, great team members and, you know, my role now is just trying to see them succeed as much as possible and hopefully, you know, leave them with a lot of lasting, you know, lessons that helps them out with their families and their future. So that's kind of where I am now.
Well, you know, I've had the same experience and I was part of your dad's team when he first started it. And so I remember the thing because it was not common in Big Bear at the time. But some of the benefits for being, you know, on a team, you know, from my standpoint is you're able to have consistent service for your customers without having to be 100% available, which is one of the downsides about being in real estate. It's a 24/7 job. Shouldn't be, but it is. And in order to have a life, which clearly you wanted to have, you know, that was outside of real estate, having a team allows you to do that because you can put the right people in place to provide your customers the service that they deserve when you're not available. And, you know, I love what your dad, you know, taught me is that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, it equals 10, you know, and having the right team with the right synergy will do that. It's also really hard to wear all of the hats in real estate today. I mean, it's a lot more complicated than it was when I started 40 years ago. I don't think there's any one person that can do every single thing that they need to do in order to run their business and still talk to anybody. You know, right. There's so much to do. So, you know, I commend you for that. Running a team is a challenge. And I've liked that. I mean, when they're part of the team, I like that, you know, running a company where, there's independent contractors that don't have any buy into your team thing. That's been difficult for me. You know, I think that's the hardest one. So
yeah, very cool. That's a good point. I think, the team thing allowed me to take off more. Right. It allowed me to take off more for sure. And that is a big plus, you know, and of having a team is to be able to, again, you kind of transition in the business from working with buyers because you don't know anybody else. Right. And working with sellers, maybe having a team and then slowly riding off into the sunset. Right. I mean, that's kind of, but not 100%, but slowly. Right. I mean, I'm still doing stuff these days, but not as much as I used to.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can share with you is that I know how hard it is to lose people working for your dad. I mean, there was a period of time that we didn't speak a whole lot, you know, as we were competitors. But one of the greatest moments was reconciling with him after many years. That was a really important moment, I think, for me and for him, because we had a lot of respect for each other. We were just competitors, you know, it was just really that competitive nature.
Time tends to heal things. You know, you just got to give it the time, right?
Right.
It's just the way life works.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we learn as we go through life, as we learn more and more about it.
Yep.
I want to say thank you for sharing those things with us today and wish you the best and want to hear what you plan to do next.